The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
Mary set out and traveled to the hill country in haste to a town of Judah, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the infant leapt in her womb. And Elizabeth, filled with the Holy Spirit, cried out in a loud voice and said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And how does this happen to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For at the moment the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the infant in my womb leapt for joy. Blessed are you who believed that what was spoken to you by the Lord would be fulfilled." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Since today is the last Sunday, I thought we might make a quick review of the other Sundays that brings us to today. In Cycle C, we have various prophets that are given to us. In the first reading, as you heard today, we had the prophet Micah. And you may not remember because it's so far away, but the first Sunday we had the prophet Jeremiah. And what he spoke about was that the day is coming when I will raise a branch for David. He's already preparing the people for that great day when Messiah will come out of the stock of David. And then following that Sunday, we had the prophet Baruch on the second Sunday. Baruch spoke directly to Jerusalem. Jerusalem, remove the garment you have of sorrow and suffering and shame, and put on a new garment of glory, because your God will come, and those who have been exiled will return. And once again, Jerusalem will be brilliant. Weep no more, but look forward to what is coming, and already let your heart begin to rejoice. And that theme of rejoicing was even more clearly exemplified in the third Sunday. I'm sure you remember that one. That was only last Sunday, Rejoice Sunday. What was the prophet? Zephaniah. He's the one on whom we sing, "Let the Father Will Dance." You know the song. Let the Father dance, because everything is new and all we think of is rejoicing. So Zephaniah said, "Zion, have no more fear. Let not your hands fall limp, for Yahweh your God is in your midst." Messiah has come. He hasn't come yet, you know, only third Sunday. But it's like when you peep through the window and you see your family coming down the road. They haven't reached the house, but everybody jumps and says, they reach. They haven't reached yet. But we see them just down the road, so that's it. Rejoice, because your Lord is in your midst. And what we have today from Micah is, out of Bethlehem will be born for you the one who is the ruler of Israel. So he points directly now to the place where Messiah will come. Out of Bethlehem. Bethlehem, you consider yourself small and insignificant. But I want you to know, no more will anyone think of you as insignificant, because in you will be born Messiah, the Savior of the world. In a sense, dear friends, we have been brought full circle from the beginning of expectation to the point now he's going to be born here now in Bethlehem. And God help you if you're not ready, because he's right here. And this year, as I said, We don't have 4 weeks of Advent. We only had three full weeks, 4 Sundays, of course. Because tomorrow already is Christmas Eve. Are you ready? Are you ready? Is your heart prepared? I know some of the other things might be ready. The ham and the sorrel and the... I don't know, I'm just saying that. I have nothing of that sort ready, mind, by the way. I'm depending on you. But I'm praying that our hearts are ready. That somehow, all through these days, and especially those of us who have been following the novena, every day, another day coming, rising early in the morning to come here, what a beautiful thing. Preparation for the coming of the Lord. As I mentioned, on one of the mornings, I said, when I was very young, a small child, living in Scott's Head, we had a very small house, wooden floor, wooden partition. But for Christmas, we scrubbed. We, the children, had to scrub. Scrub. When you hear scrub, scrub, you know. Scrub and scrub and scrub and scrub the floor. Scrub and scrub the partition so that everything is like brand new again. You remember that? Some of you had the same experience. And for me, now what it means is to scrub my heart, scrub my conscience, scrub my mind, scrub me, so that I can shine again for the Lord. And all this time in Advent, we have been preparing for this. And then in Advent also, we saw John the Baptist. Do you remember him? First, he said, prepare the way. And then the next Sunday, he came back, and he was very direct. When people said, what must we do to prepare? I don't know if you remember, that was last Sunday. He said to those who are asking, he says, if you have 2 coats, give one to someone who doesn't have one. In other words, don't be stingy, but share. Recognize that what you have comes from God. And if someone else needs what you have, even sometimes what you really, really need for yourself, give it anyway. Of course, in this case, he said, if you have 2, give 1. But I like to say, if you have 1, cut it in half and give half and hold the other half. In other words, it was very pointed. You want to prepare, this is what you must do. Because sometimes we think the gospel is just in the air. No, he was very practical. If you want to prepare, this is what you must do. Search your heart. Are you generous? Are you sharing? Or are you selfish? And then when the tax collectors came, what did he tell them? You remember. He says, don't take more than your share. Because it was their custom to ask a little extra so that they could put the rest in their pocket. He says, don't do that. Be honest with yourself and with your work, and do not extort. Do not take from the people what does not belong to them. Be honest. Be a person of integrity. And when the military people came, the soldiers, what did he tell them? Don't abuse your power and authority. Don't intimidate. And don't make people afraid of you because you have the power and the authority. Don't take advantage of your position. And don't ask for more pay. Are you too greedy? I'm moved by that, my dear friends, because again, John the Baptist was making this preparation very concrete in their lives. And I'd like you to embrace that for yourself, all the categories. The soldiers, what he said to the soldiers, take that for yourself as well. Because sometimes, even if we're not soldiers and military people or police officers, we tend to intimidate others whom we think somehow are a little lower than ourselves. Or we use our position to, you know, move things when they should not be moved. And we close our eyes to little injustices that are going on because, he's my friend. So take that for yourself as well. And to those who are tax collectors, we don't have any hair. But in terms of being honest with yourself and your finances, know, for example, that every man who is alive and who knows what life is about, knows that every bit of money they have belongs to God. All my finances belong to God. I use what I can, what I need, and the rest I give back to God. That's what it ought to be. I take what I need, of course, for myself and my family, but the rest belongs to God. And then also for those, the very first group, what must we do? Well, if you have a little more than you can use, share it. And this time, of course, is a time of sharing, Christmas Day. I was so pleased, my dear friends, that in our own parish, we have already attended to the very lonely and the very destitute and the sick ones of our parish. We had for them our usual get-together, celebrated the Mass, and offered them a beautiful meal. But they're not the only ones. There are others, too, who need our help and attention. Find them. They might not want to come to you. But if you see them, reach out to them. So in all of what John the Baptist said, I would say, let's take everything there and see how I can use it for myself in terms of preparing and scrubbing my heart and my soul that the Lord may find a worthy place. And then finally we come to the woman. It's really she I wanted to talk about, you know. I haven't started yet, you know. I know it started. Because you see, the woman, Mary, has to play center stage. Because it's from her that Messiah will come. And today in the gospel, what we hear is, shortly after she realized that she was pregnant, she went off to meet her cousin Elizabeth, who was a little more pregnant than her, 6 months. She was only maybe about 10 days by the time she arrived at Elizabeth's house. Probably took about a week to get there. So from her yes to getting there, maybe a week and a half, 2 weeks pregnant. People are not showing by that time. You just know you're pregnant, but you don't have any stomach to show. Elizabeth did. She was already 6 months. But what is very curious is that when Elizabeth was greeted by Mary, as we heard in the gospel, when your greeting reached my ears, what happened? The child in my womb leapt for joy. The child moved. So the child is already a child, clearly at 6 months, in the womb of Elizabeth, St. John the Baptist. But then the child moved because also the child recognized that he was in the presence of the king. He was in the presence of cousin King Jesus. Can you imagine? Now, cousin King Jesus was only about a week old. A week old. So don't you ever tell me about abortion. And tell me that this is just a little fetus or a little whatever it is they call it. And that this is a child that will become a full-grown child from the time of conception. Cousin John the Baptist was present and recognized that he was in the presence of the king, cousin King Jesus, and he jumped for joy. So the two cousins, Elizabeth and Mary, in total joy, and Jesus and John the Baptist also in total joy. I thought I would talk a little bit more about Mary today. Our church, our parish is dedicated to her, Our Lady of Fatima. Mary, the woman who teaches us how to wait in joyful hope and joyful expectation. That's what Advent is about too, isn't it? To wait in joyful expectation of the good news that will come. And so for me, Mary, the M stands for the mystery of motherhood. That she who at first said, but how can this be because I don't have a husband? Said, don't worry, the Holy Spirit will overshadow you. And this child will be child of God. And she said, yes, let what you've said be done to me. The mystery of the incarnation, I don't know, my dear friends, if we ever think of it really, that God would love us so much that he would become one of us. The story is told of a great king who fell in love as he passed through the countryside, saw a little peasant girl, and his heart went out to her. He said, my God, I want her to be my bride. So he called his famous people to say, what shall I do? I'm a king. She's a peasant. These things don't happen. They cannot be. And he said, well, bring her to the palace and marry her. So, well, no, people still talk about this thing. They gave different ideas and so forth. At last, he said, I know what I will do. I will become a peasant. I will leave my palace and be a peasant and speak to her and woo her until she agrees to be my bride. And he did, and went off to a far country, and they lived as peasants. They lived as ordinary people. And when he died, the people said to her, the woman, "You must be a queen. By the way you lived, you must be a queen." That, my dear friends, is what the Lord did for you and me. He became one of us. Who am I that God could become a human being like me? But that's what he did. God left Godhead and became a human being, taking flesh in the womb of Mary, the woman, and becoming one of us in Jesus Christ. You can only say, praise God. You can only say, Lord, I don't understand, but I'm awed by the fact that you love me so much that you become like me in Jesus, to live, to suffer, to die, just to tell me, I love you so much, I cannot do without you. The mystery of motherhood, the mystery of the incarnation. And the A in Mary for me is attitude. The attitude that she had. When I sing of Mary, I sing that beautiful song that was composed by one of our Trinidadian priests. Her greatness was her faith, her greatness was her love, her greatness was her given word. That's the attitude. The attitude that she had was an attitude of total love for God. That she could say to the angel, "Whatever you have said, let it be done to me. Let it be done to me according to your word." An attitude of openness to the will of God. An attitude of yes, even before God says it. God says, "I want you to do something for me." He said, "Yes. But I didn't tell you what it is. It doesn't matter. Whatever it is yes." What a marvelous thing. Sometimes we say that to people, you know. When we're truly in love, as you have been, as I have been, the other person says, "I want this," you say, "Yes." They haven't told you yes, what you know. But the love that you have for them is so great, you know, you cannot say no to them. You cannot deny them. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Well, you don't know. You cannot say no to them. And even before they ask you precisely what it is, your heart says yes. There's a willingness, there's an openness, there's an attitude of tremendous acceptance and love. And that is Mary. That is Mary. And also an attitude of generosity, that she would have left her home just at the knowledge that Cousin Elizabeth, who is elderly, might need help. She leaves herself behind. She goes off to meet Cousin Elizabeth. Not to sit there and say, "Cousin, I reach you." Say, "Cousin, I am here. What can I do for you?" In fact, she didn't ask, "What can I do?" She just started to see what has to be done and did it. An attitude of generosity. Love for God and love for my sister, my brother, my friend. The R for me in Mary is response and responsibility. That her response was quick. Her response was not, "Well, angel, tell God I want to think about it. Tell him to come back tomorrow, please. Well, you know, I'm not sure. Mon dear, that's..." No. Because sometimes we ask, "Will you come tomorrow?" "Well, call me tomorrow. Send me a WhatsApp, send me a text. Tomorrow, are you coming or not?" Well, there's no response, there's no commitment, there's no anything. Mary says, "Yes, my response is sure, my response is firm, my response is what it is that I am. And more than that, I will not only respond in words, but I will respond in action." I don't know if you have thought about it, my dear friends, but you know, her commitment goes way to the cross, you know. That at the end of the life of Jesus on earth, while her son is hanging on the tree, she finds herself there, right there. And I'm sure she accompanied him from the moment he was condemned by Pilate all through the streets of Jerusalem carrying that cross. until they reached Calvary. That was her response, and that was her responsibility. And finally, the why in Mary is yes, yes, yes. In me, there is no no, only yes. God, yes. And think about it, my dear friends, for yourselves. What is God asking of you today? What is God asking of you today? First, in terms of your gifts, your talents, your abilities, what is asking of you today? Are you willing to say yes to Him in the use of all these gifts that He's given you? Whether it is to feed the poor, to speak a word of comfort to the sick, whether it is to give your talent in music to the church, whether it is to give your talent in some other way. What is it asking of you? And are you willing to say yes? Is it a definitive yes? What is God asking of you? In terms of your relationship with the people that you relate to, your spouses, your children, family first, and then the rest of the community, what are the needs that are there that you can say yes to? You can hear Him tugging at your heartstrings and saying, I'm telling you this, you're not listening. Listen to me, I've brought this person to you many times and turned them away. Now you can't turn them away anymore. I have asked you to forgive that person many times. You still have not forgiven them. Forgive them now. I'm asking you. I'm begging you. Can you say yes? Can you say yes to something that seems impossible? Because you believe that nothing is impossible to God. Can you say yes to that? And to your life in society, in terms of seeing what is happening in our society, in the world, can I say yes to integrity? Can I say yes to justice? Can I say yes to truth? Can I say yes to the common good? Can I say yes to that? Or would I prefer to say, let me live my life, eh? God, leave me alone. You see me, I well happy where I'm there, so don't bother me. Or would you say, if Mary could do it, and she's my mother, can I lean on her and say, Mama Mary, teach me again. Teach me the mystery of bearing Jesus. I'm not a woman. I cannot bear a child. But I can carry the word of God within me. And that is my blessedness. I can carry the word of God within me. Mother Mary, teach me that. Mother Mary, give me the right attitude. The right attitude that I must have towards my God and towards my brother and sister. Mother Mary, please, help me to be responsible. Help me to recognize that with all the different rights that I have, that there is a corresponding responsibility. And Mother Mary, please, help me to say yes. To say yes to God, yes to Him for whatever it is He asks of me, even if it seems impossible. So that's it, dear friends. We have come full circle. I can't wait for tomorrow evening, actually, midnight mass. And then the next day, Christmas Day. But for now, let us just thank God for this day and for all that we have heard from Jeremiah, from Baruch, from Zephaniah, and now from Micah. All we have seen of John the Baptist, and today of our Blessed Mother. Let us thank God for this day, and thank God for everyone who's here today, and all those we know and love. Amen.